morning. I was trying to find a nice way to speak like Yoda or Yoma.
But it's hard. Hard it is. Hard is, yeah, anyway. Just one announcement. We have these invitations on the table back there. They're for the 24th, for the Christmas Eve candlelight actually service. So if you have friends you want to pass these things to, grab as many as you want from there. We can make more. So if you want to take to give to neighbors or random people or you name it, just grab as many as you want from that table over there. Okay, question before we start. Truthfully, how many wise men were there? Yeah, or how many wise men? Yeah, we don't know. It's true. Tradition says three, but really, my number is six, you know, because I think they brought so much stuff, they had to have two guys carry the crates, you know, so three, two, 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 that's six magi. That's my number. I said there were six. That's my choice. Anyway, and I don't think they're that wise. I mean, that's an old joke, but going to a newborn and bringing just gold and myrrh and frankincense, I mean, no diapers, no, you know, hot pot, no nothing. I mean, not too wise. Anyway, this last carol we just sang together has this line in it. It says here, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And as I looked at this song, knowing that we'd be praying for this Sunday, this invitation to come just stood out for me, and I prayed about it, and just I want to share with you just a few thoughts, just about 45 minutes or so, about, just kidding, that was a joke, about this invitation to come, or this call, if you want, to come. And it all started with actually him coming to us. You know, it says here in Luke 15, I think someone read that passage, where it says that it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now unto Bethlehem and see this thing which it come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. The shepherds said, let's go. Or actually, as the song says, let's go, let's come. And worship the King, because he is worthy. That's where this invitation comes. And then it actually comes when Jesus Christ came to earth as a baby. And as John puts it, you know, John 1 verse 14 says beautifully, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you read that word, I don't know Greek, you know that I don't know Greek, but the Greek word says he made his abode, his home amongst us. Jesus came here and he made his home amongst us. And it says, we have seen his glory, glory as the one of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to us and he's calling us to go to him, to come and behold him. And I love John. I'm not going to stand too much on this passage, but in John, We may actually study this book in years to come. It's going to take us years to study it anyway. But in John 1:39, some disciples ask him, where are you going to stay tonight? And Jesus says, come and see. Verse 39 in John 1 says, Jesus said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him. In John's typical fashion, a phrase that has an outside meaning actually has a much deeper meaning in this phrase in John here, because this invitation to come and see is so important in the scriptures, that we come and see who God is. This come is actually not a new thing. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you probably saw this old invitation of God to the prophet Isaiah. It says in Isaiah 55 verse 1, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You can read the whole passage, actually, verses 1 through 8. I think it's that that whole passage in Isaiah 55. It's an invitation to come and enjoy God. Be restored, be refreshed, be filled up and enjoy the presence of God. It's an old, old invitation that says, come, everyone who's thirsty, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And it's not just for the thirsty ones. The invitation to come to Jesus, and we think about this now at Christmas time. Well, this invitation is not just for the thirsty, for those who are hungry, for those who long to rejoice in this life. It's for those who are tired too, and sleepy, just tired. It says here, come to me, actually Matthew 11:28 and on, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's another come to me that Jesus says here for all who are heavy laden, burdened. Life is hard. I was last night with a few very good friends from church, actually the elders and their spouses, older spouses. That was a joke again. Inside joke. Sorry. It's a different joke. Man, stop for a second. Have you heard of D.L. Moody? Famous evangelist and preacher back in the, I think it was 18th century, 19th century. He was once asked by a lady from the church, after the sermon, she came to him and said, "Sir, brother, your message is amazing, but you say too many jokes." So D.L. Moody, came to her and said, "If you only knew how many I hold." Hold back? What's the English for it? Yeah, hold back. If you only knew how many I hold back. So keep that in mind. I may say a few, but there are much more. I spent the night last night just rejoicing. Remembering how the Lord worked in our lives as a family and as a church in the last year. And we prayed a bit and we asked for God's blessing for next year. But I just was, my mind was stuck on how God walked with me through this year. It was a burden, I would say, it's not an easy year, And still, God just amazingly supported our family and our church and us all. And we came here tonight, this morning actually, and we just rejoice knowing that our God is not changing. And He says, come. If you're thirsty, come and have your thirst quenched. If you're tired, come and find rest. Our God, if you want, our loving, gracious, welcoming God is giving us this invitation. And we are, if you want, guests of the Lord that says, come to me, come drink and come eat and come take, enter the rest that I have for you. Who are the ones that are God's guests? The ones who are thirsty, obviously, and we spoke about that, and tired, and if you want, ready to give up. Do you ever feel that you're like ready to give up? Give in, give up, just stop trying. I've been there. There are days when I felt like, what's the point? And in those days, God came to me and showed me there is a point, because I'm not alone, and my strength is not the foundation of my life, but His strength is. And my fears do not control me, but His peace does control me. So the ones who are ready to give up, for you and for me, God says, come. For those who are lost, who have lost all hope to see change, we pray for things. Some things in my life changed like this. I used to use four-letter words, a lot. Went to almost all-boys high school, all-boys college, served in the military, worked with the military. You can't imagine what kind of vocabulary I acquired in more than just one language. And when I became a Christian, everything was just gone. I didn't realize I'm not using those words until later on when I thought, I'm changed. That's one quick change. But other changes took 20 or more years to see them happening in my life. And I praise God that my wife did not give up on praying for me. But sometimes when we pray, nothing changes. We kind of tend to lose hope. And God says, don't. Come unto me, for I have for you a hope that's never disappearing. It's you are born again to a living hope for me. And also, who are God's guests? Besides the thirsty and the hungry and the hopeless and who else? The broken, the rejected, the unwanted. Have you ever felt unwanted? I'm the guy who went through 4 years of high school and never been invited to a birthday party. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't even think about it because I never got invited, so I thought probably no one gets invited. And I realized that was not quite the case. And I was not a bad kid. I was like, I don't know, I was sort of geeky a bit, but you know, I was never invited to a birthday party. And I was like, years later, I thought, that's strange. Some of us are really, we feel unwanted or rejected. When openly people say, we don't want you here. Like Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. You know, he was not welcome in any reindeer games. You know, sad. That's rejection. But God has a solution even for that. And like I said, the broken. You know you messed up your life. You've done made some choices, you've done some things. You suffer the consequences and you think, oh Lord, there is no hope for me because I'm too broken. But God is masterfully recreating, if you want, putting you together with his gold, his art, making you even a better person, just because you were broken. What's that art in Chinese? Sorry, in Japanese? I forgot about the name of that Japanese technique of restoring with gold and making a broken piece even more beautiful and precious. Those who are scarred, I'm not talking about skin here, but about heart. Those of us who are scarred because things have happened and hurt us in the past. I shook Sophie's hand this morning and I probably shook too hard. I do that sometimes and I probably hurt a bit of her finger. But you know what? That's nothing. That goes away in a second. But our heart hurts in our hearts and scars. I was happy to see my daughter wearing my mom's watch. I was able to fix it. Not myself. I'm not that good. I paid for someone to fix it. And then I thought, if I fix my mom's watch, maybe get my dad's watch too. So I went on a website online and I actually found the exact model of my dad's watch and ordered it online. It hasn't arrived yet. Who knows when? Sometimes in the future. But I told some of you that when I saw the picture of that watch online, all the scars of my past came to surface. I was surprised myself by the emotions I felt just by seeing that watch and remembering the hand on where that watch used to be. It was not fun to go through all those emotions again. I realized I have scars I'm not even aware of. And sometimes I do things because of those scars, and you're the same. We're not different. There are scars in our hearts that are deep. And God says, I don't care. All those things I can fix, I can heal, I can restore. Just come to me. That's the invitation. Come, all ye faithful. It says here in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. When God says, come, and it says, you are my guests, the thirsty, the hungry, the tired, the broken, the unwanted, you are my guests. God has a menu for us. God has a menu. God has something for us to enjoy and taste forever with him at this feast. And peace is part of it, one of it. God has peace for you. Because if we have peace, we can endure trials, and we can endure hard times. When peace is over our hearts, you know, we can go through storms of life knowing that everything is under God's control. When peace like a river, that's an old song that is so beautiful. Just if you know it, I don't know, I'm going to try to sing it because I will probably make a mess of it. But besides peace on this menu at God's invitation, it's also restoration. And thanks for those who Googled for me, because I now remember it, you know, somebody Googled for me. Joel 2:25. A promise which I hold dear to my heart, personally. It says, I will restore to you the years that the swarms of locusts have eaten, Joel 2:25. To me, that's a promise that even though some of my many of my years in the past have not been awesome years, I've done stupid things and bad things and things I regret now. But those years can be restored. Maybe not those years. I'm not going to go back in time. But God will restore what was stolen by the enemy. And God says, come to me. Not just those who are great and in good shape, in good condition, go to church every Sunday and enjoy life to the fullest and have everything they need. No. Especially those who are broken and tired and thirsty and hungry. The unwanted, the scarred. God says, I love you and I know you. And I have a plan for your life. Because besides restoration, there's that peace with God. And God says, I forgive you and I will change you. Isaiah 1:8 says, come, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. There's nothing in your past, nothing in my past that God cannot change and restore and give me back those years that I now regret. God has, besides peace and restoration, God has a future and a hope. We just studied 1 Peter, and just remind you a couple of verses from 1 Peter, first chapter. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You have a future, and you have a living hope. The devil will try to lie to you because, like I said, not just once, more than once, the devil hates you. But God has an amazing love for you that says, I don't care about your past. I will restore you. I will bring you peace. I will forgive you, and I will give you a future and a hope. Just come to me as you are. So today we join in the same invitation of God given to all of us. All who are thirsty and weary and broken and hopeless, come. Like Psalms 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man and the woman that take refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We'll sing this song once more. O come, all ye faithful. Joyful and triumphant. And think about your life. Don't think about the defeats and the times you lost, the times you felt defeated. Think about this. In God, I'm more than conqueror. So, oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come to Bethlehem. Behold him, the King. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. That is his invitation for all of us today. Amen.